6'10", screaming at the top of my lungs on one of the busiest trains in New York City. Now, I need to give you some backdrop before I even arrived at this moment, because your face expressed the exact expression of everybody else that was on the train when they saw me standing up screaming. Now, I need to let you know how we even arrived at this moment with me screaming on one of the busiest trains in one of the busiest cities in the world. So I used to work at a nonprofit in Harlem, and I was the lead team director for young men. And a lot of corporations got behind this nonprofit. Mayor Bloomberg was one of them. And I always would tell my coworkers about how much I enjoyed what I did out speaking outside of work. And I said that, you know, as I was driving the train, because the best way to get around New York is not in car, it's definitely in train. And I said to myself, to my coworkers one day, I said, I'm going to speak on the train one day. They probably saying like, Pastor Mike, that's crazy. Why would you tell someone you want to speak on the train? But if you ever been to New York City, you will understand why I say I wanted to speak on the train. Because if you ever rode the New York City subway, you've seen everything possible on the New York City subway. You see people dancing, you see people rapping, you see people singing, you see people playing instruments, you see people begging, you see people crying, you see people telling jokes. This train is literally a stage for anybody in New York City. And one day, seeing this young lady sing and see these people do all these great things on the train, it motivated me. So I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to speak on the train one day. And the idea sounded amazing, but every day I got on the train, I found a reason why I shouldn't do it. I would say, you know what, God, it's too packed. I'm not going to do it, God. You know, I can't even move around in the train. I said, you know what, God, there's not enough people on the train. I don't want them to miss out on this opportunity. I said, God, you know what, not today. I'm not feeling it. I will always find a reason why I shouldn't do something. And that sounds like a lot of us. When we have goals, we have ambitions. And it's a good thing, but we find all the good reasons why we shouldn't do it. And guess what happened? Eventually, my job ended because it works throughout the school year. And the school year ended. So I was like, dang, God, can't do it. And then my friend invited me to go celebrate at Columbia University and required me to catch the train to Manhattan in order to do it. And I remember I was getting dressed, trying to look sharp, you know, trying to do good. I think I do a decent job at the getting dressed thing, right? So I'm getting dressed in the mirror. I'm looking at myself. And then God reminds me, hey, Mike, you want to speak on the train today? And I was like, whoa. Now, first I thought I was bugging for a second. You know, when you think it's something, you like, you know, maybe this is me. Maybe this is not God. But then God reminded me again, because two places that God does speak to me at, aside from just in regular life when I'm walking, whatever the case may be, is God speaks to me on a toilet and in a shower. I guess you probably think, son, this is the only place you're going to sit still, so I'm going to talk to you right here. And he reminded me, again, Mike, you're going to speak on the train today. So I'm giving God every excuse in the book. Like, nah, you know what? It's a special day. Let me keep it about my friend. I'm trying everything in the book. And then God, like any other parent, stops going back and forth with me and just said, you're speaking. Similar to how a lot of us do with our kids. You're going to school. You're taking the trash out. You're not going to the party. That's exactly how God dealt with me in this moment. And then I get on the train. I wait on the platform for the train. And then God told me, Mike, you have until this train stop to start speaking. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay. And the train stop was one of the busiest stops. It was New York Penn Station. So now you're not only asking me to speak, but you're asking me to speak on one of when everybody's getting on one of the busiest stops on the train. So I eventually gave in. I capitulated. I said, all right, God, you win. Because the thing that God asked me in the moment is because I was so nervous about it. Not that I was shy about speaking. Again, I did it for a living. It was that I was scared about speaking on the train. Because, see, when a school, when a church, when a business brings me in, they bring me in by choice. But when I'm on the train, I'm actually invading their space. So they could throw a fruit at me. They could throw their coffee at me. They could boo me. They could smack me. It's a public space. So I was worried about it. And then God asked me a simple question. Son, what do you have to lose? There are some people on this train that actually need to hear what I've placed in you. What do you have to lose? So I said, all right, God, you got it. So now I'm on the train. And I'm like, God, the stop comes. And it says, boom. I said, God, how do I start? Do I just say, hey, how you doing? And then I'm looking at my phone, and he says, scream. I said, all right, God, now you're messing with me. Scream? I said, God, one of three things is going to happen if I scream on this train. Either when I scream, they're going to say, oh my gosh, whatever he's going through, he'll be all right. Or, oh my gosh, what happened? I need to know what happened. What is he going through? Or, oh my gosh, that has to be the tallest crackhead I've ever seen in my life. For him to be screaming at the top of his lungs. My roof, my head's already touching the top of the train ceiling. So I'm like, God, how's this going to work? And all I heard was, go. So I screamed, ah! And everybody stopped. Like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I mean, it's New York City. Everything, they don't know what's happening. Like, listen, what's going on? People taking their headphones off. Everybody stops. And then here I am. And I said, now that I got your attention, I need something more valuable from you. I need your time. Because see, guys, you get on this train every day and people ask you for money for their talents to help them get by. But I'm asking you something more valuable. Because see, you probably gave that person $5, $10, or a dollar. But here I am asking you for your time. Because you could get that $5 back. You could get that $10 back. But if you give me 5 minutes, if you give me 10 minutes, you can never get that back. I'm asking for your most valuable commodity. I'm asking for your time. And as I began to give my speech on the train, everybody began to listen. People start taking their headphones off. People start putting their phones down. People who did have their phones out started recording. And people, everybody was into it. And then when my train stop came, because I promise you, Barbara, I wasn't long-winded on this one, right? I had to be short because I had to get off the train eventually. And then when I got off the train, people started clapping. And then the old man gave me the thumbs up. Good job, young man. And I left the train skipping. I was so happy. I was alive. You'd have thought like, whoa, my gosh. Well, I don't know what got into him. I was feeling amazing. I was like, God, how could a train make your son feel so amazing? Speaking on the train, how could this dirty New York City train make me feel so amazing? It's amazing what God could do. And when I thought of this moment, I thought of Romans 8. Which says that, and I don't know about you guys, it said that it uses all, God uses all things for his purposes. And I don't know how to say all in Spanish. I don't know how to say all in Greek or Hebrew or anything. But what I do know is this. All means the same thing in every language. And God used, for me in that moment, a dirty New York City subway to make me feel the power, to make me feel amazing. Now, I don't think you guys know the level of dirty that a New York City subway is. I mean, have you ever saw the rats on the New York City subway? They look like dogs. You might as well put a leash on them, right? And you probably say, Pastor Mike, well, how does this tie into your message? It's because, guys, I believe that we're missing out on a lot of things in 2020. I believe that a lot of us couldn't wait to see 2020 go. But what if I tell you that God can use the most unlikely of things to bring out the best of us and, most importantly, his glory in us? A lot of us were so happy to see 2020 go. But I want us to make sure that we get the right outlook on 2020. Because, see, when you looked at the number 2020, I think that everybody thought vision, 2020 vision, right? Which is likely. I think that 2020 was the easiest sermon that any pastor could have wrote. All he had to do was just write about vision, right? It's real simple. But can I challenge that thought process for a second? And I think that 2020 wasn't the year of vision. Now, I'm not going against any word that any pastor ever spoke to you guys, right? I think 2020 was the year of perspective. I think that it wasn't God showing us new things. I think it was God showing us how to view things in a new way. A lot of us, after 2020, we looked at our jobs differently, looked at our families differently, looked at our husbands differently, looked at our wives differently, looked at our children differently, all because we went through this one hard year that didn't change our vision, but it changed our perspective. And what I believe God desires from us here today, what I believe that God put this message on my heart for today is that he does not want you guys to go into a new year with old thinking, with old ways, with an old attitude. I believe God wants to go into it with a fresh outlook, with a fresh perspective. And that's what we're going to get into today. Because, guys, one thing that I believe is that the vision does not matter if the heart is not right. And a lot of us are not seeing the wrong things. We're seeing the right things the wrong way. Let's pray. Dear Dad, we thank you for bringing us into this place. We thank you for this time. Father God, in your word, it says, "With two or more gathered together in your name, that you are among them." So, Father God, we believe that whether anyone is watching us via online or in person, Father God, that you are among us right now. And Father God, I ask that your Holy Spirit come like a rushing wind in this place. May we never be the same. Invade the homes of those that are watching us online. Father God, may you breathe the spirit of stillness, of oneness amongst everybody here. I thank you for this time. Sit Michael down so you can be lifted up, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before I go any further, Happy New Year's. Y'all got to sound bad. I don't care if it's 400 in here. Happy New Year's. Now, I want to say something because one of the people I got closer with is my kids during the 2020. And I had to pray with my youngest son yesterday. I was like, "Hey, Dave, let's pray. Daddy gotta preach." And if you want to get the bold, honest truth, all you got to do is just talk to your kids, especially when they're younger. And so I'm like, "Yo, Dave, come on, let's pray." She's like, "All right." I'm thinking like, you know, I'm ready for him to say a motivational prayer so I could be like, "Oh, my gosh, that boy is anointed. That's my son." He was like, "Okay, Dad." He said, "Dear God, I pray that my dad, preaches a good word. And I pray that nobody falls asleep when he preaches." I was like, "Dave, do you fall asleep when I preach?" And it's crazy because the thing about it is that a lot of times it's those moments that we don't want to hear the truth. But I love how someone said this. The truth may set us free, but also the truth hurts. And guys, a lot of things, that's what we miss out on. And guys, what I want to talk to you guys about here today is about how God could use the most unlikely of things to bring out the blessing in us that he has stored up for us. It's because a lot of us wanted to see 2020 go. I heard this story recently and it blessed me. This grandfather was staying up to watch the New Year ball drop. And his grandson was watching him. He was like, "Yo, granddad, you never stay up for New Year's. Like, you usually tap out at 9 o'clock. Why are you still up?" And he said, "You know what, grandson? You're right." As he was dozing off, "I usually don't stay up to see the New Year ball drop. But after the year that we had in 2020, I just want to make sure that 2020 leaves. So I'm going to stay up for this one." And that's how a lot of us are. We couldn't wait to see 2020 leave. But I believe that God wants us to take some lessons out of 2020 into 2021 to make this year better. Guys, remember, what you don't repair, you repeat. And what you don't learn from, you're bound to do over again. And there's some lessons that God wants to learn in 2020 so we could be better going forward. And there's some perspective shifts that I believe that he's going to provide in his word for us here today, okay? So you ready, guys? Are you ready? Okay, cool. So let's start with the first story. We start in John 9. There's a blind man, right? He was born blind. Now, I want to address one thing that really stood out to me, and it was the disciples' question when they first saw the blind man. They said, "Rabbi, what did this man or his parents do for him to be born blind? What sin did they commit?" And the first perspective shift that I want to address is that a lot of us, when we see somebody going through something in life, we think that they must have sinned or done something wrong. And here's the thing. When you label God's preparation as persecution, you miss out on his purpose. And a lot of times we think, "Oh, because that person's going through something, they had to do something wrong." And we think that his handicap hindered him from God's best. But I'm here to tell you that, no, it doesn't. Because have you ever listened to a Stevie Wonder album? I don't think his handicap hindered him. Have you ever listened to Helen Keller speak? I don't think that her handicap hindered her. Have you ever listened to Ray Charles? Have you ever listened to Beethoven? All people that had handicaps, but I don't think that it hindered them. And a lot of times, guys, we look at some of the things that we're going through life and we say that I must have done something wrong. That person must have done something wrong in order to be experiencing what they're experiencing. So a lot of us ask the same question that the disciples asked Jesus about the blind man, about those around us. God, what did my son do for him to be going through that? God, what did my wife do for her to be going through that? God, what did my husband do? What did my kids do for them to be going through that? And I love Jesus' response. I think that this response we should apply to everything in life. Jesus said that the parents didn't do anything. Neither did he. But this happened to reveal God's glory in him. And I know that's a hard thing to swallow. I know that's a hard thing to actually take in. But this happened so that God's glory could be revealed in that person. And do you know what's scary? Is that a lot of us not only ask this question about others, sometimes we ask this question about ourselves. We say, God, what did I do wrong? I show up to church every week. I pray. I tithe. I read the devotionals every day. What did I do wrong for this to happen to me? Why did I have to lose my job? Why did my marriage have to fail? Why did my business have to go under? What did I do, God? I'm here to tell you that this happened so that God's glory could be revealed in you. But the question is, will you allow it? Now, the next thing I want to address is this. Is it said that Jesus spat and made mud with his saliva. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm from North. And if you spit on me, the last thing I'm going to be thinking is healing. I'm going to be thinking hurting, right? Because I'm going to smack you into 2022 at least. So, and I don't know about you guys, but if I'm the blind man, and I hear, because if you got it for you to make mud out of dirt, you can't spit like, you got to come from your soul with your spit. And I don't know about you guys, but if I'm the blind man, blind or not, and I hear Jesus go, and he had to do it more than once because he had to make mud out of this. I'm like, oh, God, hold you, Jesus. I'm blind, but not deaf. Why are you for? And then he tastes the mud. Splatter is on his eyes. And what makes it worse is he says, now go to the water. And Pastor Mike, how does this apply to life? It's because here's another perspective shift, guys. The thing that you think God is using to humiliate you, God is actually using to humble you. So we thought that God was embarrassing the beggar, the blind man. No, God was actually showing you that there's no limit to what he can use to heal us. That there's nothing too dirty that he cannot make worthy. But can you allow God to humble you? God used the lowest things that we would deem as disrespectful, as dirty, as his concoction for healing? Mud and spit. That's a recipe, I thought, for disaster, not for healing. But God used it. And I believe two things that 2021 is going to require of us is our humility and our obedience. The man was already humiliated. And then God said, go. Can you go when you don't feel like it? Because here's what a lot of people don't tell us. And I'm here to tell you this. Faith is not a feeling. It may not always feel right. I'm going to tell you this right now, Pastor Man. I think I may be jumping the gun when I say this. I don't think Noah was enthusiastic building that ark. I don't think he was. I don't think Joseph, even though he was operating in his gift, I don't think he was enthusiastic running from Potiphar's wife. Being faithful in the jail. I don't think Jesus was enthusiastic carrying the cross. But he knew what awaited him and us. Faith is not a feeling. It may not always feel right, but it is right. And so when the man did this, when he was obedient, even though he may have seemed humiliated on the outside, he's creating a humble heart on the inside. He could see. Beautiful. But can I shift gears for a second? It's because a lot of times, it's not that God is not only using the things that we label as dirty, but sometimes the things that we are labeling as dead. And guys, here's what I want you to understand is this, right? There's some things that God had to end in 2020 in order for you to get further in life. Some relationships, some friendships, some endeavors that you were pursuing that may have seemed right on the outside, but they weren't right. Proverbs said it this, that there's a path that seems right but ends in death. And a lot of times we think that because it seems good that it has to be God. And that's not always the case. And there's some things that God had to put to rest, but then there are things that we put to rest. There are things that we said, God, I can't take this pain. I can't take this rejection anymore. I'm putting it to rest. And one story that came to mind is two chapters over in John 11, and it's Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was the sister, was a brother of Mary and Martha. Give you some backdrop that Mary was the one who came to Jesus, broke open a bottle of perfume, poured it over him, and wiped his feet with her hair. And it said that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It said that he cared about them. Matter of fact, when they addressed Jesus, they said that, hey, the person that you love is not feeling well right now. And Jesus reminded them that this will not end in death. So he reminded them. And it said that Jesus loved Lazarus, but it said that he loved them, so he stayed. Wait, what? I thought you loved me. Why are you not moving? But see, here's the thing that I want you guys to understand. I had to learn this myself, is that can we stop confusing God's timing with our timing? A lot of times we want God to move right now. But we have to understand that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we want God to move immediately when God said no. There's something that I'm trying to accomplish right now. So you may want me to move right now, but my will is being done right now. So Jesus moves, he goes, but this is the thing that blesses me the most. When he tells his disciples that, hey, we're going. The disciples said, hold it, Jesus. Like, you know, you're Jesus, I know. But you were about to get killed last time we were here. And you're going to go back over there? What goes to show me this, that there's no place that God cannot reach our loved ones. Jesus in the physical was willing to go back to a place that he was about to lose his life just to restore the life of Lazarus. So if Jesus in the physical is willing to go somewhere where he could have lost his life, what's he willing to do for your loved ones in the spirit realm? He could visit your son in prison. He could visit your daughter in the crack house. He could visit your husband in work. He could visit your wife while she's talking bad to you, to her friends. He can visit your children while they're hanging out with their bad friends. There's no place that God cannot reach your loved ones. So he goes, right? And now here they are. Martha runs right to Jesus. Hey, say, oh, Jesus, if you were here, my brother would still been alive. And the thing that I love about it is she says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have still, would have not died. Next verse, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Whenever Jesus asks a question, it needs to be noted. He asked Martha, do you believe this? Next verse. Yes, Lord. Uh-oh. She says she believed it. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And here's the thing that would really bless me is that next thing you know, she will get her sister. And the thing that about it that actually scares me is that there were people out there, the Jews were out there, they were saying, you know what, man, didn't he just heal somebody blind? Why he couldn't save him from dying? So now there are people that are doubting Jesus now. They're doubting. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, take me to where Lazarus is. Take me to the grave. Because Mary's response was the same as her sister. Jesus, if you was here, my brother would have not died. So he says, take me to the grave. And they get right there. And then Jesus says, all right, roll away the stone. Now hear this, take away the stone. Martha's like, hold it, God. He's been in there for 4 days. It's going to stink in there. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Oh, he caught her. Let me tell you this. I'm a father. I'm good at this. I'll ask my sons a question. I'll be like, hey, what did you do with that thing I gave you? I left it downstairs, Dad. Okay, cool. And I'll leave it alone. And I'll ask him the same question later in a different way. What did you do with that? Oh, it was upstairs in my room. I thought you said it was downstairs. And here Jesus is saying, hey, I asked you this question. Didn't you say you believe? Next verse. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with stripes of linen and cloth, and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, I want to rewind something back for you guys real quick. Can we go to verse 41 for me, please, Don? Hold on. Jesus just made a dead man rise. I'm going to say that again. Jesus just made a dead man rise. Don't you think if Jesus had enough power to resurrect the dead man, don't you think that he probably had enough power to remove the stone? Makes sense. But do you want to know why I believe why Jesus asked them to remove the stone? It's because he wanted them to be co-laborers in this miracle. Anybody can say they believe, but can you take action? Do you know in 20 countries, the word that they use for to believe is the same word that they use for to take action, to do? So whenever I say I believe, I'm saying I'm going to actually do it in the physical. And Mary and Martha's belief was challenged in this moment because now they couldn't just say it. Now they had to show it. They had to remove the stone. And a lot of us in our lives, we have a stone over a situation that God's trying to bring back to life. A lot of us have a stone on our own lives, a stone on our relationship with our children, a stone on our marriage, a stone on our relationship with God. And Jesus is saying to all of us today, can you remove the stone so I can call back to life to the thing that was dead? Can you remove the stone so that your son can live? Can you remove the stone so that your wife can live, so that your husband can live? Can you remove the stone so that your family can live? Or you want to keep that stone there and miss out on a miracle that could take place? What do you want to do? Can you remove the stone? But hear this, guys. This is the thing that blessed me. Mary, Martha, and everybody there had to remove the stone so that Lazarus could live. Mary, Martha, and everybody that was there had to remove the stone so that Lazarus could live. Mary and Martha and everybody there had to remove the stone so that Lazarus could live. Are you willing to remove the stone so that whoever you've been praying for this whole time can live? Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, I would love to see certain people in my family and church, but am I willing to remove the stone? And I believe the stone for a lot of us is not in a physical sense, it's our heart. And God wants to remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, but there's a part that we got to do. Are we willing to do that so that God could do a miracle, not only in us, but also in them? Because there's three things, guys, I want you guys to understand. Not only can God use a dirty situation or a dead situation to come alive, But three things I want you to get about this two illustrations that we just gave you, guys. The first thing is this. Jesus was never in denial of the reality of what they were going through. He said, he is blind. But this happened to bring the glory of God in him. Lazarus is dead, but it won't end in death. Jesus never gave it the ending that the world said. He gave it the ending that God said. And a lot of us are speaking negative over a situation that God does not want us to. Do you know that every person, they did a survey of men in jail. Every majority of men in jail were told they were going to end up in jail before they even got arrested. Power and death. Power is in our tongue. Life and death are in our tongue. So guys, if you can't say nothing positive, don't say it at all. And guys, I want you to understand this is, guys, Jesus identified with something better. I read this book called Atomic Habits, and it blessed me with this one thing. And I love how psychology actually, a lot of scientists don't agree with the Bible, but so much of the Bible actually proves that it's only higher than science. One of the things that they'll tell you, a good habit is that if you want to adopt a new lifestyle, that you should identify with the lifestyle that you want, not the one that you have. So you could put two people who used to smoke, who quit on the same day, who were smoking for the same amount of time. You could offer one person a cigarette. They say, no, I'm trying to quit smoking. You offer another person a cigarette. And he could say, no, I don't smoke. The same people been smoking for the same amount of time. Had the same body structure. They quit on the same day. But do you want to know what the first person was saying? There's a chance that I may go back. I'm trying to quit smoking. Do you know what the second person was saying? This is no longer part of my lifestyle. This is nothing that I identify with. And a lot of us are identifying with something that God's saying that I'm doing away with. What do I mean by that? There are some things that in the youth group, kids get a kick out of this. When I post pictures of when I was in high school or in college, and they be like, Pastor Mike, you used to wear that? And I never deny it. I'm like, yeah, I used to own that. But you won't catch me dead wearing that now. And that's what God is saying to us about our life's journey. I'm pretty sure you guys used to own bell bottoms and wear, I don't know, mullets, or I don't know, whatever you did. You probably did it. We all did it, right? I saw an amazing picture of Pastor Randy back in the day. You look sharp. But guess what, guys? Hear this. You won't wear it today, but you're not going to deny that you used to own it. And God's saying, daughter, son, own your testimony. You don't got to wear it because I'm doing a new thing inside of you. Identify with the new life that you have in me. Not what the world gave you, what you have in me. The second thing I want you guys to notice about this story is that people were present. I'm going to say this again. People were present. They were present. And here's something I want you to grasp, right? It said it in the next chapter in John 12, right? Here's something that really stuck out to me, guys. And listen, look, it says, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, hold it, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made a plan to kill Lazarus as well. They're some haters. For on account of him, now Pastor Randy's going to love this. If it was on account of God, it would have been a capital H. But on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Because of something that was once dead, now souls are being saved. All because they just didn't quit. All because they just didn't quit. Come on, guys. What you thought was going to be the end of you, God says, no, this is just the beginning. But I need you not to quit. I need you not to quit. So can I tell you this? I believe, Okay, I'm going to be honest. Right, I didn't say it's no other service because it just hit me right now. I believe that my mom was a Mary or Martha in my life. I believe that my mom had to remove the stone so that Michael could live. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. I always tell the kids this. I tell every mother and father that come to me about their child, I said, listen, just sit down 5 minutes with my mother and just tell her what you're going through. And my mom will probably smile at you and say, child, you'll be all right. Because if you ask my youth pastor, when I was younger, what might be a youth pastor? He'd be like, nah. I thought Mike would be in the youth detention center, but not a youth pastor. But my mom had to remove the stone so that Michael could live. And I'm blessed to do what I do to help other kids receive Jesus because someone decided to remove the stone so that Michael could live. And because of Lazarus, many people came to Jesus believing. Isn't that beautiful? The next thing I want you guys to get is this. The third thing is this. Do not let anybody rob you of your testimony. Listen, it just said here that because of Lazarus, now they wanted to kill him. What? They said for the blind man, when he began seeing, everybody said, isn't that the guy that used to beg and that was blind? They said, wait, hold on. They said, actually, people start dissing him and saying that, man, you were born in sin. And he said all these negative things to him. So who was really the blind one? Was it the blind man or was it the religious leaders? And everybody was talking down to him. They was ready to kill Lazarus. But guess what, guys? I wish I would have loved a lot of you guys to say that 2021 is going to be great and amazing. It is going to be great and amazing. But guys, there is persecution that comes with this prize. And guys, I'm trying to tell you, we could weather this thing through. There's no limit to what God can do. But the persecution doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. The persecution means the enemy is mad that one more soul is making it to heaven. Now, there's three things I want you guys to get so that we can make sure that we go into 2020 right. Three things, and I promise you guys, we're done. The first thing is this, right? Is I noticed something about life. That when you go inside, this whole pandemic taught me a couple things. One thing is this. Is I noticed that you cannot walk into certain stores without a mask. They literally tell us, you got to go. I don't care if you're in a rush. You got to have a mask on. In other words, they're setting this boundary to keep our people safe. And no matter how exuberant, no matter how excited you are, no matter what your need is, you cannot go into the store without a mask. And if our government saw fit to set up these guidelines for us to remain safe, then why don't we set up these boundaries for our life? In other words, there are certain things that we need to have in place to make sure that people, before they come into our life, that they have these things done. Not a Christmas list of they got to make six figures, they got to be this, they got to be that, they got to be this. No. Because the Bible says, guard your heart, because from it flows the issues of life. Can you set up some boundaries in place to make sure that the people that come into your life, they help you, not harm you? Because, guys, I'm here to tell you this, guys, is that a lot of times, you want to know why we get hurt so much? It's because we held the wrong people close. Can we set up boundaries in place? The next thing I want you guys to do is to not quit. Not quit. See this thing through. I know it may get scary. I know you may not want to make it to the end. I know you may not even want to go a step further. But see this thing through. You may not have the desired result you want now, but it doesn't make sense now until you reach that. I need us to have the same approach that Joseph had. We were standing in front of his brothers and said that this thing that you designed for evil, the enemy designed for evil, God can use for good. Allow God to use this thing for good. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Because, guys, the victory is not just ours, but it's his. And the main thing I want you guys to do And I didn't say this in last service, but God reminded me when I was sitting down. When the blind man was being questioned, and they said, Jesus couldn't have done this. He's a sinner. You know what his response was? He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. All I know is I was blind and now I can see. Guys, I'll be lying to you if I say every day that I'm motivated to pray to God. I'd be lying to you if I say every day I want to just run to his presence. I'm going to sit down for a second because I think that me and Pastor Ring was at a conference. And this man said something very profound that blessed me. He said there were two sons. One son lived in California while the other son lived in New York with his mother. And the one son who come from California, the mother will always be excited every time he comes. Like, oh my gosh, that's my baby. Hey, baby, how you doing? She'll be so excited. My boy is back in town. It didn't mean that she didn't love the son that stayed at New York with her. It just means that she was always happy when the son from California would come and visit. Now, the son from California would check out on her from time to time and do everything. But the son from New York was always with her, walked with her daily. So the mother grew sick, and she eventually passed away. And then the funeral came, and they allowed the sons to give closing remarks. And the son that lived in New York shared so many stories about the mother, so much great insight. And then a brother from California said, yo, bro, I didn't even know some of that stuff about mom. He said, bro, I learned this because I was with her every day. I was with her every day when she needed to go to the hospital. We made breakfast every day. We talked. I had to speak to her. And the God concluded with saying this. Every day with God is not going to be fireworks how the son from California got. But can you embrace the mundane in the secret place in order to go deeper with God? Guys, 2021 is going to require more of our discipline than our motivation. Can you talk to God every day? It says to dwell in the secret place, not to visit. I challenge you, I challenge myself to let's dwell in the secret place. Because if we're going to get what we need, if 2020 taught us this, for a lot of us, church was a building. If we're being honest. But for God, for Jesus, church is a body. It's a people. Whether it's in the house, whether it's in your car, whether it's in your bathroom, whether it's in your closet. As long as Jesus is there, as long as presence is there, that's all that matters. Let's finish this journey right. This 2020 is our year. Not just a year to see miracles, but a year to grow closer with God. But remember this, guys. Anything that grows deep, that goes deep, has to go higher. The World Trade Center foundation goes way deeper than the foundation of a house. But it stands higher than the majority of the buildings in New York City. Go deeper in God so not only can you can stand higher, but so your family can as well. I came up with the title. Well, I didn't come up with it. God gave me the title. I can see clearly now. It's because I was singing it. If you've ever been here before, you're going to know that you're going to have to dance with me if you hear any music. Heather knows this as much as John knows. Anybody, you walk in here, you're going to dance with me. You're going to have a good old time. And when I start singing the song, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Da 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 da. Yeah, God, I'm not the best karaoke singer. You gotta bear with me. But I love this part. Ready, Ray? It's gonna be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. There are two types of people that look out the window when a storm is done. One person focuses on the mud, the other person focuses on the sunshine. Which one will you be? Let's stand, family. Wow, 12 o'clock on the dot, Heather. Sheesh. I'm on the money, 12 o'clock on the dot. Oh, good job, right? I got my job tomorrow. Man. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for everybody here, everybody that watched, everybody that checked in. And Father God, I pray above all that you are glorified here today. Father God, that this word did not fall on shallow soil, but fertile. So Father God, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters. And Father God, I decree and declare that, Father God, this will be a move of God in this church and in this community like never before. That, Father God, we're going to grow closer as a family. Father God, that we're going to continue to uplift each other, edify each other, because now we can see each other clearly. I thank you for all that you're doing. Now, Father God, if any of my flesh has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten. May only the things of you remain. And Father God, I pray that you bless and God protect everyone as they go home. May they have safe travels. Father God, most importantly, Father God, may they encounter you all throughout this week. I thank you, Father God, for setting your son free. I thank you, Father God, for setting your children free. Father God, I thank you for causing us to see. So, Father God, thank you. I'm grateful. Father God, thank you for the head of this home. I pray that you restored him, Father God, that he has received great rest during this time. Father God, we're excited to hear the word that you press on his heart for next week. And Father God, I thank you for his service, for his heart, for the anointing on his life. May we continue to keep his arms lifted so that we can win the battle. At the head of this house, Father God, we are under his authority and the anointing that you have placed on his life. So we cancel any assignment regarding this house. And we bless the heads of homes for everyone in this church. That as a congregation meeting comes, Father God, that you be glorified in everything that we do. As we enter into another year, Father, may we not only have fresh vision, may we most importantly have your perspective. I thank you for today, Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed, family. Have a blessed day.